One of the TV shows I really like is a TV show, Seinfeld. I like it because all the characters are really messed up. They all have like a bunch of really big problems. That's what I love about them. They all have their own quirks and their own issues. You know, like Jerry's kind of a clean freak. He's really picky. He's really sensitive about his comedic acts. Kramer's just out there, right? He just only thinks about himself. He does all sorts of really crazy projects. His sister just raids Jerry's fridge and never pays him back. And he doesn't have a job. In one episode, he gets a garbage disposal in his shower so he can cook and make salad while he's showering. So all the characters are really strange. And one of my favorite characters has to be George Costanza. He has so many foibles. He's so selfish, self-serving, so lazy. He knows where every single public restroom is in the city of New York City. In one episode, he's like, name any intersection, and I'll tell you where the nearest public restroom is. So he's got all these weird quirks and stuff. And one of the things with him, he's really stingy. That's one of the quirks about George Costanza. And I got here's a clip from one of the episodes. It's a Calzone episode, if you ever watched it. So he started getting Calzones, and his boss, Mr. Steinbrenner, really likes the Calzones. So here he is in the shop. Is there any audio?
And I always take care of my paisano. So here's a little something.
Antonio!
Si!
Vieni qua! Questa miserabile pastore di
casa! No, sono andato qua! Aspetta, guarda l'altro! Hey! Hey! You steal my money?
No, you don't understand. I wasn't trying to take it
out. No, I know what you tried to do.
No.
Now get out of here. Don't come back here again, ever!
No.
I break your arm like a brother!
Is that the calzones, Mr. Steinbrenner?
Oh, beautiful. I'm starving, George.
Yeah, this video's a little choppy, but you get the idea, right? So he goes to this calzone place and buys calzones. And he's trying to chat up the guy. He's talking, yeah, we're paisanos. My last name is Costanza. So we're like both Italian, yeah. And then you see how he pulls out that $1 bill to put in the tip jar. And he goes like, you know, he's doing that flourishing thing. He's about, and then right when he puts the tip in the money in the jar, the guy happens to turn around. So what does George do? He doesn't pull out another bill and wait for the guy and then drop it in there. He tries to pull his bill out so he can put it back in so the guy will see it. But he ends up getting caught, and the guy thinks he's trying to steal money. So in this case, the question is, who is George trying to impress? You kind of see, like, when he puts the money in the tip jar, what's the purpose of him putting money in the tip jar? Because if his purpose was to help that guy, give him a little more money, he would have pulled out another dollar bill and then put it in there. Or he would have just went away because he would have thought, hey, that guy's got another dollar, so okay, whatever. That's, you know, he doesn't need to see it. He has a dollar, right? That's okay. But the thing is that he's trying to impress that guy, but he doesn't care about that guy, right? That's why he wants to pull his $1 bill back, right? It's not like it's a $10 bill. He tries to pull out that $1 bill so he can put it back in there just so that guy can see it. So you see, George is trying to impress that guy. I think a lot of us are like that in our lives. We try to do things to impress people, and we don't necessarily have much concern for their benefit or other people's benefit, but a lot of times we try to impress other people, and it's about those other people that we do those things and not, but it kind of comes back to us, right? Notice that George put it back in there. He doesn't care about that guy. He just wants that guy to see him put the dollar bill in there. And I love how ridiculous that clip is. He tries to take his dollar bill back instead of pulling out another dollar. And then it gets caught. But a lot of times in our lives, we kind of act like we're trying to impress those other people. And I think one question is who are you impressing with your life? Like a lot of times we do all sorts of things in our lives, and the question is, who are you trying to impress? Like you go to the gym, you notice that people work extra hard when there's pretty girls around. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the guys would be doing some weights, and then a pretty girl comes in the gym and, like, switch to the bigger one, you know what I mean? Grunt a little bit more. That was, yeah, so heavy, yeah. After she leaves, you're like, oh, man. Right? Pretty girl comes back, oh, yeah, I'm so strong. Right? So a lot of times we live our lives to impress other people. And I think one question to ask is, who is your intended audience for all the actions that you do in your life? Who is your intended audience? Who is supposed to see what you're supposed to be doing? And a little, I guess, a corollary question would be, is it okay if, you know, only God sees you doing it? What if the good things in your life that you do, what if God is the only person that sees it? Right? What if George Costanza, is he okay with putting a dollar bill in there, knowing that God saw him put the dollar bill in there, and that guy will have an extra dollar? Is that good enough, or does he need to impress the guy behind the counter? So who is your intended audience when you do things in general? Here's a passage, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 2 that you read earlier. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. You see, notice that there's certain things in this passage that stand out. He says, beware of practicing righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. A lot of times we do righteous things, we do good things to look righteous, but we do it oftentimes just to be seen by other people. And notice in this passage too that it says, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. The idea is that if you do things for the purpose of impressing other people, the impressing of the other people will be a reward. Therefore, our reward won't come from God. Because our reward is impressing other people get impressed with us, that's a reward. So God doesn't, you know, he's not going to give us a reward because that's not why we're trying to impress people. We're not trying to impress God. And notice the later on when Jesus criticizes the Pharisees, he says, they do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. Again, there is this theme, to be seen by others. So they do good things, not to do good things, but to make sure that other people see it. Right? They put the dollar in the tip jar to make sure that other people see them put the dollar in the tip jar. Not to put a dollar in the tip jar, but to be seen by other people putting the dollar in the tip jar. And I've talked about my youth group about this, right? The phylacteries. Back in Deuteronomy, God said, put my word on your forehead and on your wrists and carry it around with you everywhere you go, kind of a thing. And the Pharisees took it in a literal sense. So they would write certain verses on scrolls, and they would carry them on themselves. They call that phylacteries. And of course, they didn't do it so they could, you know, in a way to obey God and be like, yes, God, I carry around your word with me wherever I go. But notice that Jesus says they make their phylacteries broad. So they make this little symbol huge so that other people will see it. They go, oh, that guy's got a phylactery. He's carrying around Bible verses. He's righteous. And also there's certain fringes in their robes as a symbolic thing, part of their clothing. They'd make them really big as a symbolic gesture. But they would do it so that other people would see it. They go, oh, look, that guy, he's really religious, you know. I guess a modern-day equivalent would be wearing like a really huge cross or something to that effect. They would do all these symbols, not to the purpose of for God, but rather to impress other people. So notice that their intended audience for the Pharisees was other people. All right, Jesus didn't say, you give alms to the poor so that God can see. All right, you do all these things so that God can see, but they do all the things to be seen by people. They do their righteousness in public to be seen by people. And one of the things that a lot of times we forget is that we can do good things, but we can make the good things bad. We can do good things like, for example, in this case, giving to the poor. That's what Matthew chapter 6 is about. And Jesus uses some poetic language, I guess you could say, figurative language, right? Don't sound the trumpet when you give alms. So in this case, the Pharisees were giving money to the poor in the temple. But they're making a big deal out of it, sounding a trumpet, so to speak. You know, kind of like the expression of tooting your own horn. So imagine them like donating money to the poor and being like, hey, $1 million over here, like $1 million. So that the purpose wasn't to help the poor out. It was that people go, hey, look at me. I'm donating so much money. I'm donating that money. Yeah, poor people are being helped, but look at me first. You know, that's the idea. Right? Don't sound your horn when you donate money. Because their reward is trying to get people to notice them. So even giving away money, right? Charity, tithing, volunteering, all those good things are good things. But look, even those good actions can become bad when the focus is wrong. If you just do it to be seen by other people, those good things can become evil things or bad things. As God said, there's your reward, right? And you get a lot of like really rich people, right? They donate so much money, but a lot of times it's just kind of like, look at me, I'm donating so much money. It's me. Don't look at the poor people, look at me, I'm donating the money. You know, like the poor people aren't doing anything, I'm donating the money. And the attention is always back to them. So even good things like donating money to the poor can become something that's corrupt. That becomes something bad if they're just trying to show off themselves. For example, praying in public even though that's usually a good thing, can become a bad thing in and of itself too. See, back in Jesus' day, they prayed regularly during the daytime. There's certain hours of prayer that's kind of an older tradition that kind of sadly we haven't really kept up in a lot of the modern church, is that there's certain times of day where you drop everything you have and you just pray to God. For example, in certain parts, Peter and John go to the temple during the hour of prayer. Jesus goes to the temple during the hour of prayer. There's certain times of day where people would stop what they did and pray. And of course, that's not necessarily a bad thing. So let's just say you're at work, or you're traveling, or whatever you're doing. You'd say, oh, it's 3 o'clock. It's time for me to stop my job, stop work, stop this, whatever, and time to pray to God. Take some time out, take a break, and focus on God. And you do this like several times a day. And that sounds like a really good thing, right? Stopping what you're doing and praying to God. But the problem is that religious people always find a way to mess things up. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And again, there's the emphasis that they may be seen by others, right? So there's a good thing, right? Praying in public, right? It's good to pray in front of people. They can see that, oh, you're praying, right? But the problem is that they did it to be seen by other people. So the Pharisees would purposely be like, oh, 3 o'clock prayer. Better make sure I'm somewhere out in public so people can hear me pray good, you know? Like, it's 3 o'clock and I'm in front of all these people. I better start praying. And so they use all these big words, fancy phrases, throw all this fancy sounding prayer so that people will go like, wow, that guy's prayer life is so cool, right? That guy is so spiritual. Hear all those things that he said? Wow, that's really good. So they don't pray to talk to God, but they pray to impress other people. They throw on flowery words. They throw on all these really crazy things, not to talk to God, but to pray in front of people so that they may be seen by others. Again, Jesus says, they have received their reward. So if you give to the poor just to be acknowledged by other people, that acknowledgement is your reward. If you pray for the purpose of people going, wow, you're so spiritual, the people going, wow, you're so spiritual, that's a reward for the people that are praying to show off. So even public prayer can be something bad. How about fasting, right? A lot of times we consider fasting as a very devout, holy thing. But then Jesus says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And again, this notion of people doing spiritual things, right? People that are fasting. And fasting is usually abstaining from food for a period of time for the purpose of prayer. And it's a religious kind of an activity. But then the Pharisees, when they fast, right, they put ash on their face and look, oh man, I'm suffering so much for God. Oh man, look at me, right? Because notice it says, they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others, right? Do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. Oh, I'm fasting. Oh, I'm so spiritual. You know, they were like, oh wow, that guy, look, oh, he's fasting. Look, he's starving, but he's looking for God. That guy is so spiritual, right? Yeah, I'm so spiritual. I'm fasting, I'm so hungry, but I'm not going to eat. I'm too spiritual for that. So people do that, right? It's a good thing, but they do it, and they purposely kind of like overboard to try to make it look like they're, oh, I'm so spiritual, man. And then people go, oh, wow, that guy's so spiritual. Wow, that guy's really cool. And again, Jesus says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. And notice that the cure for both of these is a lot of times if we suffer from pride, suffer from show-offness, go hide, go fast by yourself, right? If you're trying to impress God, then you can go fast and only God can know you're fasting and you'll still be happy, right? Yeah. So notice that giving alms to the poor, praying in public, and fasting, all things that are good in and of themselves, even they can become corrupt if we don't have the right motive. So notice that a lot of times in your life, the things that you do that are spiritual, things that are beneficial, things that are good, the question is, who is your audience? Like when you come to church, who is your audience? Who are you trying to impress? Who's supposed to know that you're at church? You read your Bible. you pray, you do all these good things, that they're good, but the question is, who are you trying to impress? And that's definitely one of the things that, for me, working in ministry is a difficult thing, because a lot of things that my spirituality has to be pretty public in a way, you know. Like, if I keep everything hidden, people go like, do you ever pray? Like, you know, there's a lot of things that I do that involve praising God, but are also in the public. And one of the things that I need to make sure is that, specifically as a minister, that I make sure that when I do things, that I do it for God's glory and not for myself. And that's one of those really big temptations for ministry people specifically, right? When I do winter retreat, everybody's going, Jonathan, you did real good at winter retreat. Am I going to go, yeah, I did real good at winter retreat, you know? Yeah, I did. Or am I going to go, no, God did a good job, you know? I just did that, you know? And a lot of times it's difficult in ministry because a lot of my things have to be public. And personally, too, I mean, I know that I have to fight this temptation a lot, that I do a lot of things, right? Am I preaching well so that you guys can go, oh, Jonathan's such a good preacher? Or am I preaching so that that God will go, he delivered my message, good job, you know? Who's my intended audience? Who am I trying to impress? Whenever you give money to the poor, whenever you volunteer, whenever you do these good things, whenever you read your Bible, whenever you pray in front of other people, whenever you use your Bible knowledge, whenever you sing in front of the people, the question is, who is your audience? Are you trying to impress the people there, or are you trying to impress God? Who is your intended audience? And I think one good question is, who are you trying to benefit? I think that's what it boils down to a lot of times. Who are you trying to benefit? You see, George Costanza, when he put money in the tip jar, if he was trying to benefit that guy behind the counter, he would have been happy that at least that calzone guy got a dollar, right? You know, I mean, he didn't see me put that money in, but he did get a dollar, right? He's going to go home, count his tip jar, and either way, whether we saw it or not, he's going to get $1 richer. But you see, with George Costanza, his purpose isn't benefiting the calzone guy. It's so that he can show off to the calzone guy, and the calzone guy will think more highly of him. The benefactor is not the calzone guy. The benefactor is George Costanza. And a lot of times when we do certain things, like when we donate to the poor, we volunteer, we pray, we do all these things in public, a lot of times the benefactor isn't necessarily God. The benefactor isn't necessarily those people. The benefactor is usually us. You see, Jesus had a lot of criticisms for the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. There's a bit of almost a paradox, right? I'm trying to think of that word where two things kind of can't mean the same thing. Anyhow, so it seems to be he's contradicting himself in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So in the previous passage, later in Matthew chapter 6, he's criticizing the Pharisees. He says, they give money to be seen by others. He says, they pray to be seen by others. They fast to be seen by others. But here Jesus says in Matthew 15, let your good works shine before men. So it seems kind of paradoxical. When we do good works, a lot of times it's good that people can see it. But the main difference between the Pharisees and as Christians, what we're supposed to do is if you compare it, both of them have it in order to be seen by others, right? In the blue, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works. But notice the results, right? For the Pharisees, that they may be praised by others. For the Christians, Jesus says, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. See, notice the benefactors, right? So two people can give money to the poor, but it depends on who you're trying to benefit. If I'm trying to give money to the poor so that people will go, Jonathan, wow, you give so much money to the poor. You're awesome. And I go, yeah, right, I am. Or if I give money to the poor and people find out, I go, wow, Jonathan, you gave so much money. Glory to God. I want to give money too, you know. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we want to do. That when we do good things, we need to make sure that if it is seen by other people, who's going to get the benefit? Who's going to get glory out of these things? When I pray a really great prayer in public, are people going to go, wow, Jonathan is such a good prayer guy? Or are people going to go, wow, Jonathan's God is so good, right, that he would pray to him? So when you do good things, the question is, who's the benefactor? Right? George Costanza wants to benefit himself. He wants that calzone guy to think highly of George Costanza. George Costanza just thinks about George Costanza. He doesn't care about the calzone guy. He does things so that people will benefit him. And the question is, when we do things, are we like George Costanza? Do we do things in public so that people will think highly of us, or do things so that people will think highly of God? Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I think that's a really deep thing, right? When you do things in public, does it lead to people praising you or to praising God? And a lot of times there's a fine line between that, but I think it's something worth considering to think about. Because Jesus said, notice that when we do things for the praise of others, we have received our praise already. As one of the professors at DTS, he talked about it. His example would be like, you know, when the people give you applause, that's your reward. There you go. So God will say, you got your reward. You're not going to get a reward from me, right? You didn't do it for me. You did it for that. So you got what you wanted, right? And notice that Jesus continues his criticism of the Pharisees. For they do their deeds to be seen by others, right? And again, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. And they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. You see, they don't do these things just to be good. They do it so that they can get the place of honor at feasts. They donate money so that people go, oh, wow, you're such a great benefactor. Come on in, man. You're a guest of honor. They do all these things to get the best seats in the synagogues, right? They'll go, oh, wow, Pharisee, you're so spiritual. Man, your prayers are amazing. Come on, man, sit in the best seat in the house. And they do the greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. They do it so that people go, wow, that guy is so spiritual. Teacher, rabbi means teacher. Teacher, wow, you know, come on over, man. Like, so the Pharisees did it so that they can get the seats of honor, they can get the praise, they can get the titles. They did all these things that have nothing to do with God. But in the end, the benefactor was just themselves. They just wanted to be seen by others, right? They wanted the honor at the feasts, the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in marketplaces, and to be called by rabbi by others. And the question is for all of us is, do we do good things so that people will think more highly of us? Do we read our Bibles so that when Bible questions come up, we can go, oh, I know the answer. I'm smart. When something happens and we need to do volunteering or some type of service project, are we doing it so that people will go, wow, that guy's got such good service. That guy's got a good serving heart. And you'd be like, yeah, I do. Or do we do things to benefit other people? Do we do things to help other people? Who are you trying to benefit? Like, there's this expression that Jesus uses. When you give, right, don't let one hand know what the other hand is doing. The idea is that don't be conscientious about it, right? Just give. Don't make such a big deal that, oh, I know exactly. Yeah, I did so much. Rather, just do it. Do it in a selfless manner. Notice that in the passages, right, when Jesus talked about people praying in public, Jesus said, man, fight that. If that's your problem. If you need to fight that, go pray in a closet. Go hide in the back of your house and pray so that only God will see it. When you give, right, give anonymously. Remember when the Pharisees give, right, they sound their trumpets and make a big deal out of it. They want to show off. Remember the story about the widow's two mites, right? The widow and the two mites, or the two pennies, and the Pharisees? You get some religious people who throw in money in there, and you get this lady who throws in chump change, little two pennies. And Jesus said that the widow threw in more money than those guys because they gave out of their wealth, right? They gave out of it to impress other people. So I want you to consider all these things, that to ask yourself, would you still do it if, you know, only God knew about your tithing and charitable contributions? Let's just say, like, tomorrow the tax code got changed and we don't get tax deductions on charity, charitable giving, and tithing. Would you still give as much to the church now as you would then? So let's just say you gave to the church and the church didn't keep track of that, right? The IRS had no idea how much money you gave. Would you still give as much money even though there's no tax deduction, even though there's no record about how much money you gave? If only God knew about that anonymous giving, would you still give to God? I think that's a lot of really important question for a lot of the adults. That imagine, because it's a big money thing, right? When you give money to the church, right, you give a huge chunk of your money, and you get a gigantic tax deduction based, you know, I mean, If you give a lot, you get a huge tax deduction. What if you didn't have that tax deduction? What if there was no monetary incentive to giving tithing or charity? Would you still give that money to the church? I think that's a really important question. Right? Jesus says, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Render unto God what belongs to God. Well, God owns all your money. Would you be willing to give your money if there was no monetary incentive? If the government didn't say, oh, you tithed a bunch of money. Here's like a chunk of your money back. Hey. All right, what if we got no tax deductions? Would you still give money if they didn't acknowledge it, right? A lot of times when those charitable organizations, right, like, there's this joke about it in The Simpsons, where they give Homer a check where Mr. Burns gives Homer a check for $10,000 to donate to the children's hospital. And ending up, Homer gets the credit for the money. And so they build this huge gold statue of Homer. And like, what? Right? You give money to help the children, but you're wasting all this money to build a statue? So the question is, what if you got no recognition for your charitable giving? Would you still give? Right? Because, I mean, sometimes I go to those, like, I see those, like, really wealthy, kind of those fancy dinners where it's, like, $500 plate dinners. And I'm thinking, like, it must cost like $500 to run that thing, right? They have all these fancy waiters, and they get, like, bring in celebrities, and it's like a big ballroom, right? Like, I mean, you see it a lot in politics, right? On both sides of the aisle, right? You see those political, like, fundraising dinners or whatever. Or you see, like, some museum galas, like, they have, like, $1,000 dinners. And I'm like, would you give that money if there was no fancy dinner? If there was just, you know, you just drop your money off and left. Would you still give to it? Right? Would you become an angel investor or an angel contributor if there was no plaque or it was no sign? I think that's a really important question. Because it's not bad to be seen by other people. Remember that Jesus said, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. But what if they didn't see it? Would God, and if only God saw it, would you still do it? How about for people that have really good singing or musical talents, right? You come to church and you sing. And this might apply to the youth a little bit more. A lot of times we sing loudly. And when we sing loudly, do we sing loudly because we're just happy to praise God? Or we just want to impress the other person next to us that goes like, wow, you're such a good singer. Good job, man. Right? Imagine you're on a deserted island, you're by yourself. Would you still sing praises to God? Would you still sing it as loudly? Would you still sing it as proudly? Would you just let it boom like you do in service, even if there's nobody around to say, wow, you're such a good singer? Right? If you're on a deserted island, only God can hear. Are you still going to sing with all you got? And how about if only God heard your grandest prayers? What if when you prayed, only God could hear it? Would you still pray fancy prayers? Would you still pray prayers that are all deep? Would you still pray prayers that go on for a while? I remember at my grandfather's memorial service, all of us had to give a eulogy. All of us in my generation had to give eulogies for my grandfather. My brother's eulogy was really touching. My brother's eulogy was when we were little kids, and when he had family dinners at my uncle's house or my house or my parents' house or whatever, my parents' house or my grandparents' house. His story was good. It was whenever we go in front, and there's all this food on the table, right? So grandma's been cooking all day. Our aunt and our mom have been cooking all day. So there's like this pile of like amazing smelling food. Of course, all us little kids have been running around outside like playing football or whatever and working up an appetite. We come inside, and then we're all ready to eat, man. You know, we want to say like a really short prayer. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, and just get in that food. But then Grandpa, you know what Grandpa does? He prays. And as a five-year-old, his prayers lasted like an hour, it felt like. We're sitting there, like our eyes are closed. We're like, oh, yeah, okay, good, yeah. Oh, it smells so good. Oh, come on, you know. And so my brother's eulogy said that all we could do as kids was thinking about the food, but all Grandpa could think about was thanking God for the food. And it felt an interminable amount of time. My grandpa spent like more time praying for the food than he did like eating it practically, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much thankfulness in there. And the question is for us, like, would we pray that much if people weren't around? Right? Do we still have that thankful heart even if no people are there? Do we still have that spirit within us? Because when my grandpa prayed, it's pretty obvious that he prayed a lot in private too, because that stuff just came out all natural. And so he must have done a lot of prayer in private too. Otherwise, you know, he just practiced like once a month or something when he had family dinners. And the question is, let's say God's on a deserted island. Only you and God are on a deserted island. Nobody's there to hear your fancy prayers. Are your prayers just going to go like, thank you, Jesus, for food, bye? Or are you still going to pray elaborate prayers? Are you still going to pray deep prayers? Are you still going to pray good prayers, even if nobody else except God is hearing you? How about you watching you when you volunteer by serving? Whenever we have service projects, when we are volunteering, whether at church or outside of church or wherever, would you still do good deeds if nobody knew about it? Do you only pick up that piece of trash on the ground if people are watching? Oh, there's garbage. I better pick it up. People are going to go, wow, that guy picked up that garbage. It's so spiritual. All right? Or are you going to do it even though there's nobody around to watch you and say, wow, so spiritual? Would you volunteer if only God knew what you did? I remember some of the things that we did at Mission Arlington for Service Project. Some of the things that we do are behind the scenes. I remember we knocked on doors and we gave out little flyers and we set up all this stuff for a later group that would come in and actually play with the kids and teach the kids. So we were behind the scenes. We were setting up. The kids had the little kids that would have been the recipients of our, you know, we're setting up for another church to reap. And so those little kids would never have seen us, but we set up all this stuff in the background. I remember some of the kids complaining, and I go, well, are you trying to benefit yourself, or are you trying to benefit that group that comes? Because we're vital. We need to set that stuff up so that other people can benefit from it. Or when we work in a food bank, right, we're in this whole huge, huge warehouse, I guess, you know, and we're sorting through all this food, we're working through all this stuff. And are you satisfied with the fact that that family that gets that food will never know who you are? We'll never know what you did. We'll never give you credit. We'll never go up to you and say thank you. And lots of times when they do service projects, where I like that kind of stuff too, that we do things in the background that the recipients never know who we are. Because there's certain service projects we do, and the people will see us and go, oh, well, thank you for all that you've done. And there's other service projects that are behind the scenes. So in the end, none of the recipients, none of the benefactors will come to us and say, wow, thank you, you changed our lives, right? We don't know what happens. So the question is, would we serve God if only God knew about it? There's all sorts of small things here and there. Would we do it if only God was the audience? If only God saw, nobody else. If only God was our reward, would we still do it? And a lot of times we do volunteering just to look spiritual. We do volunteering because our friends are doing it. We do volunteering because it's fun. We do volunteering because we want to impress that one girl. We do all this volunteering for all these different purposes, but would we do it if only God saw it? So who are you trying to direct glory towards? I think that's such a vital question to all that we do. I mean, I got to battle this too as a minister, that I got to make sure that when I preach, I want people to go, God is great, not Jonathan's great. I'm nothing. All right? When we serve, when we do all these things, is the response that you want to hear, God is great, God is good, you know? When you serve in church, when you serve in this or that, right, in all these different capacities, when you give, when you do all these things, is the result trying to be people saying God is great, or are you trying to get credit for yourself? You know, it's hard, you know, growing up. You know, because when I was growing up, you know, you always want, like, recognition. You always want to make sure people know what you did. And as adults, I think that still continues, that when we do things, we want people to know what we did. We want our legacies to continue. We want people to notice us. When I donate money, I want people to see, man, I gave up some of my hard-earned money for this cause. When we serve, we want people to know, yeah, I gave up my weekend so I can help these people. I did all this for all these people. A lot of times we want that recognition. But the question is, can we walk away without getting any recognition other than from God? I think that's one of those really important questions. That in our lives, when we serve, we pray, we read the Bible, do all these things, are we satisfied if only God acknowledges what you've done? If only God gave you the thumbs up, if only God said, good job, would you still be happy? I think it's a profound question. Because a lot of times we still try to serve people. And I think how absurd that is too a lot of times when we try to impress people, but God it's kind of, you know, I mean, you know, it's like I want God to be happy, but I want other people to notice that stuff. And think about how absurd that would be. We want to impress people, but not try to impress God. We're trying to impress people that are going to die. We're trying to impress people that are simple human beings like us. And instead of trying to, for some reason, the praise of God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, who sent his son to die on the cross for us, who came back from the dead, who will come and judge the living and the dead, who will do all these crazy things. The creator of the universe, sometimes for us, isn't enough. You know, if you think about it. That when you do all these things, when you give alms to the poor, that we're not looking for God to say, that pleases me. We're looking for people to say, that pleases me. When we pray grandiose prayers, you know, we're trying to point the speakers at people and not the speaker at God. A lot of times we do all these good things, we want to try to press people instead of God. And that's so absurd. Right? God, the creator of the heavens and earth. God, the creator of the universe. God, the maker of all things. God, the sustainer of life. Right? The Bible says that God sustains the world. So if God stopped, the world would go, just cease to exist. And yet here I am trying to please people. People who don't sustain the earth. People who will die within the next 100 years. People with all these faults. People that get disease. People with all these weaknesses. People that are sinners just like me. I'm trying to please them as opposed to pleasing God, the creator of the heavens and earth. And I think it's a really vital question that all of us should ask ourselves. Who are you trying to impress? Who is your audience? Who do you want to see? Who's the most important person that you want to see what you do? Who are you trying to gain glory to? Who are you trying to benefit? Are you trying to benefit yourself or God? Are you trying to be like George Costanza, who just wants people to acknowledge him, whether or not it benefits them or not? And who are you trying to direct glory towards? And I think that's such a vital question that all of us need to ask, because even the good things that you do can become corrupt. Even the things that seem grand on the outside, that people will go, oh, well, that's really good. Even those things can become bad. So ask yourself, who do you impress? Who is your audience? Who are you trying to please? Who are you trying to show in front of? Well, let's pray. Thank you, God, for just being there for us, Father. And thank you, Lord, for giving us such forgiveness for all the times that we try to show off to other people but forget about you, Father. I pray that all of us here, including myself, will continue to only glorify you and not ourselves. I pray that all glory will just go to you only and to nothing else, Father. And I pray that when our actions are seen by others, that our glory only goes to you and not to us. And that I pray that we can just serve you with you in mind and nobody else, Lord. I pray all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.